I've made a huge mistake. The reason why I'm here in this cold open to American Pale Males, episode 165, yet to be titled at this time, is to rectify some mistakes that were made in episode 164, entitled Meet the French Press. In that episode, I had a special guest, Steve, and we took a few brews and attempted to use a French press to add some flavor and to mix things up a little bit. And that came from an article on SeriousEats.com. Now, if you listen to the episode, you may know that we did one of these infusions with a grapefruit, and it turned out to be terrible. Tasted gross. It was really bitter. And that is because we made it incorrectly. This was pointed out to me a little bit after the episode was posted by convalescing co-host Jeremy. And of course, he pointed this out in the most urbane, tactful fashion, as he usually does when he criticizes people. I kid, it was more like that photo of LeBron doing the "what are you doing" to that other rando basketball player in Game 1 of the NBA Finals 2018. Memes aside, the reason why I speak to you now is to rectify that error. I actually gave Steve most of my Sierra Nevada Pale Ale because I know he'd enjoy it, but I kept back one. So I still have one left, and that is turning out to be quite the boon because I'm going to redo the recipe done correctly. Where did the mistake come in exactly? Well, we put grapefruit zest into it, which is gross, and I kind of thought it was weird at the time. We put the zest, not the fruit and the peel. Well, we put a little bit of fruit in, but not as much as the recipe asked for. Just reading the first two sentences of the recipe, maybe you can see why I got confused, or maybe you think I'm a moron. I don't know. It says, peel one medium pink grapefruit with a vegetable peeler, removing only zest, not the white pith, and tear into pieces. I happen to tear the zest into pieces and not the grapefruit into pieces. And then it says, add to French press. Then later it says, slice the grapefruit in half, then remove one section of the fruit, flesh and peel, and squeeze into French press. So I thought, okay, now we're moving on from the zest to the grapefruit. But yeah, I guess it doesn't make sense to add zest. You know, I've used zest in recipes before, like muffins, but that's just been like with a citrus zester and adding like a teaspoon or something. Not a whole fruit's worth of zest into something. And having never infused beer before, I don't know what the normal thing to do is. So, but yeah, after Jeremy's comment and then rereading that, it's clear that they want you to tear the grapefruit into pieces and add it to the French press and assumingly discard the zest. And then the part of the grapefruit you slice in half is the part that you actually squeeze into it. That aside, let's get into this. So I have the French press ready to go, loaded with ingredients already. You don't have to sit through me chopping and all that as we did on the show. And all that ingredient prep might have distracted from reading the recipe as well. Again, not trying to make excuses. I did botch it. I will say I did botch it, but just trying to come up with rationale, doing a little RCA on what went wrong so it doesn't happen again in the future. All right, so the pale ale has not been opened yet. I have Ray Cerveza here, bottle opener. Open that, and everything's ready to go. I have the ginger, I have the grapefruit torn into pieces, and a little bit is squozing in there. I squeezed some in there. I don't know. Again, trying to pour this to minimize the fizz, but with all those nucleation sites and acidic environment in there, it's just inevitable that the thing is going to foam up and lose some of its carbonation. So that is looking nice. It's looking a lot better than rather having huge chunks of zest in there. Actually has lots of fruit in there. Bubbling around the grapefruit, bubbling around the ginger. And that has to go for 3 minutes. So I'll spare you that. And through the magic of editing, that 3 minutes is up. Let's start pressing. Got the press in here now. There's a lot more material in there. I'm just going to press it down a little bit slowly. And then most of it is just going to be poured through the filter, I think. Yeah, actually, there's a little, not a lot of room to press there, but now I do have a little of the Sierra Nevada Pale Ale left just to compare it to just a few drops in the bottle. That works nicely, though, as far as filtering all that gunk out. This is a pretty brilliant idea just mechanically alone. All right, that should be good. Let's see if their redemption is there. I can tell you now, it looks a lot better. It's just kind of a hazier version of the original Sierra Nevada. Good way to smell here. Yeah, just slight grapefruit on the nose, a little zing of ginger in there. But let's go for the taste. If it's better than a zero, it's an improvement from last episode. You know what? That is better. It's still a little bitter, though. It still has a grapefruit bitterness more than any sort of grapefruit sweetness. And then the hot bitterness at the end from the actual beer. But it's not like chillingly disgusting, blah, what is this on my tongue bitter. It is just that natural grapefruit, the actual fruit of the grapefruit bitterness, which I kind of like. Definitely like it more than before. The thing with the last one, every drink progressively became more and more disgusting. It seemed to accumulate on the tongue. Whereas this, it lingers for a little bit on the tongue, but it, as you take more drinks, it's okay. Like, it's not cumulatively gross. It's a wash of bitterness and a little refreshment, bitter hop finish, and then it's kind of over. The ginger might be peeking through in there. I get more of the grapefruit taste, the bitter aspect of a grapefruit, more than the sweet aspect of a grapefruit than anything. Maybe a little ginger is poking through, but grapefruit predominates. So the verdict, I will actually finish this. This is actually a whole pint, since I don't have a co-host here to split it with, obviously. But yes, definite improvement to do the recipe the correct way. Obviously, that zero was all on this end. No besmirching serious eats there. You know, sometimes you just botch it. Sometimes you say, look at the adjective, play. And play is obviously a verb, and it goes down in history forever. So Sierra Nevada Pale Ale with ginger and grapefruit is my look at the adjective moment. That's a wrestling reference, by the way. But hopefully making it again here has offered me some redemption. I just compared to the original real quick. I would still lean towards the original. I guess if you're a huge grapefruit fan, you might like this. I like grapefruit, but I'm not having it every day for breakfast or anything like that. I have it like once a year, maybe. So yeah, it's not better. I think I gave the Pale Ale a 3.25, which may have been dragged down by the fact that we were having the grapefruit with it. So I'd give this grapefruit, I think, a 2.75. That might have been what I gave the other concoction we made with the hops. Maybe a 3. I'll say 2.75 with this particular version. Maybe you out there can improve it and have better technique in chopping ginger or choose a different type of grapefruit. I don't know. We just went by the seat of our pants on this one and it showed. But anyway, enough rambling from my mouth. Let's get back to the actual episode. So here we go with the theme music. Take it away, Michael, and yes, it's Steve yet again.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to American Pale Males, your nerdy beer tasting podcast. My name is Michael, and with me is
Steve.
He is Steve. Crazy Nerver Steve. Join us yet again. Thank you, Steve, for filling in for Jeremy while he convalesces. I think that's a word.
Convulses.
I hope he's not convulsing, but based on his injury, am I revealing too much? Maybe. Yeah, maybe he could have a convulsion if vitals got out of control. I don't know. Let's not speculate on the health of Jeremy now, just in case we release this and something bad happens. No, it's not that bad. I think Jeremy's doing okay. This is American Pale Nails, your nerdy beer tasting podcast. And we're going to have a interesting beer today. As always with face-to-face recordings, we usually bring out some heavy hitters. And Steve brought one that I think is going to do well. But we'll save that FDR for later. In the meantime, beer brag, Steve. Do you have one? I hope ooh means you do, yeah.
So the other day, I was chilling outside next to the little kiddie pool.
Mm-hmm.
Just put this giant umbrella thing together.
I heard you have this huge umbrella in your porch.
And I'm like,
I need to see this. Cause
it was a lot of work putting this thing together. Mm-hmm. Like, hold this 50-pound bag of sand and get it to pour into this little hole thing and then shake the whole thing to get it to settle and add some water and make sure it settles more and then
add more sand. Yeah.
So like, okay, the 50-pound bag of sand is getting lighter. Okay, that makes it easier. Oh, but then you have to pick up whatever this thing is that you just put 50 pounds of sand into and shake it to hold this umbrella base down for this giant umbrella that we got to put over a little play sandbox and a little kiddie pool. Anyways, putting this together and I was like, I need a Pilsner.
Oh, okay. I was going to say beer, but Pilsner.
Pilsner specifically.
Yes.
So I went.
'Tis the season.
And I was like, so I got it put together. It's like, I'm going to go to the hardware store. I'm going to get some bug candle thingies. I'm going to light those. On my way home, I'm going to stop at the grocery store. I'm going to get me a Pilsner.
Mm-hmm.
I got a Pilsner, and I was like, okay. I was like, I know a few Pilsners that I like. Mm-hmm. I'm going to walk in. I'm going to grab one of those, and I'm going to go. Mm-hmm. I got in there, and there was a representative from Founders Brewing Company there. And I walked in, and I was like, you have a Pilsner? And he's like, here you go. Boom. PC Pills. There was.
Serendipitous,
Yeah. So I bought a 6-pack of PC Pills.
Mm-hmm. And what'd you think?
And I drank one.
You're having the very same beer right now in front of my face. You're having the PC Pills again. It's kind of a live beer brag and retrospective beer brag because...
Yes.
I mean, the context you provided with this hot summer day, jabroni summer day.
Jabroni, yep.
Yeah, and having this Pilsner, very apropos, but you're also having it now, so... What's your take on this PC Pills?
It tasted better then.
It was probably very refreshing then.
It was super refreshing then.
But I'm sure it's still good.
It's good. No, yeah. It's not. It's a super good beer. I was just sitting out in the sun, relaxing, finally.
Hit the spot, yeah.
I liked it. And so at that point, and I'm going to give it another SOJ.
Oh, you're going to? Yeah, you can do a live SOJ. I'm not going to stop you there.
SOJ then and now? Now
mm-hmm.
3.75.
Okay.
SOJ then? 4.5.
Wow, yeah.
Huge difference.
But, I mean, that's rating with your heart. It's situational. It's
and it was
temporal.
It's just what I needed at that point in my life.
Mm-hmm. And it's still good now. It's just
good.
Not like...
Still good. It's just not what I need right now necessarily. I mean, it's still good. I'm gonna finish it.
Okay.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
But back then, super great. Exactly what I needed.
Yeah.
Delicious, serendipitous man holding sample to my face so that I could be like, yes, I need more of these. So it's a big difference. Maybe I should take one or down or the other one up.
No, I think
it's okay.
You rated with your heart and first impressions are...
I'll leave it at that. What about you?
I had a brew that was... Pretty interesting.
Was it good?
It was good. It was Bouquet Pink IPA. Had this not but a week ago. And it was actually, I took a picture of the menu because this beer was not in Untappd. So the description.
What?
Laurel, Citra, and I've never heard of this hop before. I've never heard of Laurel hops before, but this one. Eukanal. Yanny. Laurel or Yanny? That was L-O-R-A-L. Yanny hops, Citra, and Eukanal. It kind of looks like Eureka and N-A-U? Eukanal, I assume? Lend medium bitterness and tropical citrus hop aromas, yet four types of edible flowers steal the show in this IPA. Lavender, hibiscus, chamomile, and orange blossoms. This is truly a bouquet in a glass. And apparently $1 per pint donated to local breast cancer charities. It's a great taste for a great cause. 70 IBUs, 7.0 ABV. It was a really, like, when you think floral and they talk about that citrus, you think it's kind of going to be a sweet beer. It wasn't sweet. It was a really herby beer. There was citrus notes to it too, but I think overall it was an herby IPA. What I liked about it, so it was a real bitter finish with 70 IBU, And then it kind of had a little aftertaste, but like it like just stopped at some point. Like after 30 seconds, it was like the aftertaste was gone. So it was kind of clean in that regard for an IPA. Yeah, after that was gone, you go in for another drink, and it's kind of rinse and repeat effect. Didn't linger in that regard, which I like about an IPA. And yeah, the herby, flowery aspect was unique. And then it had that the new IPA theme of being very citrusy. It had that kind of undercurrent. So it was a good beer. I liked it a lot. I'd probably give it like a 4-ish overall. Pretty unique. And then it also had, I guess it also was a little yeasty too, as a kind of local microbrew that's not bottled. Like there's a couple breweries around here that tend to be, have this like yeast undercurrent to all their styles. And that was there too. And, but it wasn't offensive in this one I had, but that was there too. Kind of like a yeastiness to it. So pretty good one. That was that vintage. I don't know if I said that. Well, Steve, before we jump into the FDR, we gotta keep our minds active and ready to process different beers. Basically, what I'm saying is...
we should do some beer brags.
Oh, no!
It's time for Mike's versus Machine!
That's right.
I'll change my name to Mike for this segment.
Yeah, it's going to be Steve and Mike versus Machine. Well, I'm a Mike in this segment, so yeah, Steve and Mike versus Machine. Let's see. I haven't done this in a while. Instant play? Here we go.
One quick disclaimer, I am terrible at trivia, so
well,
here goes.
This is really bad trivia in this machine. Or maybe I'm just jealous that the machine defeats. History 1, I guess, is the first category. So, who was the first former U.S. president to visit Cuba since Castro took power? I will say, Steve is looking at me with, like, I will say Jimmy Carter, because he seems like the type of guy who might do something like that. Steve is giving me the same face.
Bad at remembering things.
I mean...
Obama. Yeah.
The thing is, this is older, so...
Trump?
No. And he's not a former president.
Ooh.
Or maybe when this recording comes out, he will.
FDR.
The patron of the show. We'll try Jimmy.
I'm cool with that.
Ding, 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 ding.
We win.
We win. Take game that machine. Over. Game over. He won to nothing. Five more to go.
Oh, jeez.
Science and nature.
Okay.
We're scientists.
Maybe.
What planet's moon count went from 8 to 11 in 2003 when tiny streaks were spotted in photos? I think we...
Saturn and Jupiter?
Yeah.
Are the...
I think we...
Large moon ones?
Moon ones. But I think we know Jupiter has, like, 16.
Okay.
And I think that's been known for a while. So I would go to Saturn.
I'm...
And I don't think...
And I suppose maybe the rings had... messed
oh,
up.
Oh, that could
the
be too.
Arrays a little bit, maybe. I'm okay with that.
It's Neptune.
Boom.
Machine one. Steven
Mike's
one. Yeah. Neptune. That's a lot of moons. I guess that's probably further out and hard to visualize, maybe too. Science and Nature 2. What's the most inches of rain an area can receive per year and still maintain official desert status?
How do we know this? How would we know this?
I don't know.
Can we have like a range maybe?
No multiple, no range. Yeah.
I mean, for us to...
yeah, and pull that out of our butt. Should be like 1 inch a year?
Seems...
really low.
Low. But I mean, it is a desert.
Desert. Should we say like 10? Should we go up an order of magnitude? Split the difference, 5?
Yes.
Okay, 5.
We'll go 5.
10. Steve's giving the same face before the Jimmy Carter question.
Yeah.
Machine takes to Mike's one. This is wild, is the category, not this segment. This segment is pretty tame. How many of every 10 U.S. homes had been equipped with a flush toilet by 1900?
This is how many of every 10?
Yes. One.
What was the year?
1900.
Mm. Yeah.
The only thing I can remember is, what was that, Great Brain book series? It was a book series about a smart kid in the 1800s who solved mysteries. I think it was called Great Brain. And in one of the books, they got a toilet, and the Great Brain charged a penny for the kids to come and look at the toilet flush. So that makes me think it was a rare thing. And actually, my parents talking about like visiting their grandma like in the 1950s and how that was an outhouse.
Okay.
So one.
Yeah. I mean,
you want to go up an order of magnitude and say 10 out of 10? No. What's the difference? We'll go one.
One.
One. One. Ding, 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 ding.
Yay.
Take that, machine. 2-2. We're going to be like LeBron and get the victory.
I don't know about this year.
Well, that hasn't happened yet. So insert your conclusion when you listen to this show. And actually, he came back from a larger deficit than 2-2, I think. Right?
I think he did like
3-1.
1-3 and came back, but...
And won the NBA Finals! That's my prediction. Anyway,
I don't know about that.
Team
this year. What is the sports category?
Oh, I didn't even say the category, did I? I think this is like people and places.
What?
What nation? What nation enjoys the longest life expectancy, despite one of the world's highest suicide rates? Japan.
I was thinking that.
Yes. I will reveal the answer now, apparently. I was pushing the wrong button. That is correct.
Take that, machine.
Last category.
Win or go home, machine.
Wild is the category again. Oh, no. Maybe we will get this one. What redheaded heroine? Heroine? How do you say that? Heroine. Female heroine? What redheaded heroine did grandson of Ludwig Bellemans revive for a 1999 kids book? Mm. Wendy? From Wendy's. No, that was a joke answer. But what I was thinking, Pippi Longstocking.
Ooh, okay.
Or Annie. Is she a heroine? I'm just thinking of redheaded kids figures.
Yeah.
Do
Pippi.
Pippi is like...
Read the question again.
What redheaded heroine did the grandson of Ludwig Bellemans, who I assume is the original author, revive for a 1999 kid? I think maybe Pippi, because I think Pippi is actually like Swedish in origin, or like Scandinavian, or...
The name gives that away.
Ludwig, yeah.
Okay.
Should go PLS.
Let's try it.
Oh, it's Madeline.
I didn't
know she has red hair. Yeah. So, should we
terrible question, machines.
Yeah. Should we do a tiebreaker?
Is there an option?
No, but we can just reset the categories and do it again.
Can we choose the category?
Let's choose, so there's color chips. Let's choose it ahead of time, and then I'll reset the machine. And the categories are random each time, so they don't correlate. Blue, okay. The only way I know how to get more questions is to turn it off and turn it on again. And the theme music kicks in.
To intensify the tiebreaker.
Yes. Questions are populated. People and places. Oh, interesting. What is Earth's most populous city for 6 weeks every year when it swells with religious pilgrims? So 6 weeks a year is the most populous city on Earth. I would say Mecca.
Is that
the Islam
considered
pilgrimage?
Is that a city?
Now machine is like kind of flipping us the bird because it's making us go into potential religious botching. Because if I get it wrong, then I'm like a bigot.
Yeah, is that...
that's kind of what the machine does.
Is that a 6 week? Is that a long...
That's what I... That's, yeah, that's what I'm...
That's, I guess I don't...
I don't want to guess the holy day, we'll say. Name. Holy week name. Because if I get it wrong, then... But you have to probably like stay there for a few...
I suppose.
A little bit and come back.
And the ticket prices go so high, we'll just go the week before.
Yeah, right.
Get it out of the way.
Mecca.
Let's try it.
Machine, don't make me a bigot. Yeah, it is Mecca. Yes.
Take that, machine.
Just throw it across the room and watch it explode. So that was Mike's vs. Machine, or Stephen Mike's vs. Machine. Because
starring Steve and Mike.
And microphones. Steve and Mike's.
There was... Three mics.
Mics
one unofficial mic changed his name for this segment. That was me, Steve.
Well, that was a fun little segment there. But let's get serious. Let's get into the FDR, Steve. What is the FDR? Do you know it?
Who's find a beer?
Mm-hmm. Drink a beer.
Rain a beer.
Okay. And Steve, today you found the beer. We have not yet drank the beer. After that, we'll rate it. But what beer did you find today?
I brought with me Trip to Illinois, a brew from Three Floyds Brewery, one of Jeremy's favorite breweries. Sorry, you're not here to have it. It's called Live a Rich Life.
Yes.
A Belgian style double IPA.
So this will be interesting. It might bridge the world between the IPAs, which you tend to like, and the Belgian style beers, which I tend to like. Maybe it's the perfect drug.
We owe them money.
I do have some flavor text here. So this intense Belgian style double IPA has a... Okay. The text on this website goes over the label of the beer, which is also white. Has a something amount of hops. Maybe an insane amount of hops. This beer was brewed in loving memory of a former employee, Rich Shepherd, who passed away on 4/11/11. Try this beer and enjoy a rich, with a capital R, life. You said it was Belgian-style double Indian pale ale, ABV of 9.5%. And IBU of 100.
Ooh, boy.
And the bottle is designed by Zimmer Design, and it's kind of a...
Looks like maybe a man named Rich.
Right, I'm sure this is probably Rich. It's like a...
Aviators.
A cigarette. It's like a sketch. Almost like a forensic sketch.
And kind of the 3D looking. Like it's got the blue and the red.
It has blue and red and yellow highlights. It looks like if you put on 3D glasses, it might pop out.
Yeah.
But yeah, it looks kind of like a police sketch of this man in aviators with a mustache smoking a cig. It's unlit, it appears. And then, the rest of the bottle is real simple.
Yeah, maybe he's just chewing on it.
Yeah.
Because that's...
He likes the taste because he wants to live a rich life.
Yeah, I've heard that's how you're supposed to do, like, cigars and stuff, too.
Just chomp them?
Yeah. That's what cousin of the show did.
My cousin of the show? Yes. Okay, yes. I think there's a picture of him looking like a Quake 3 character. So this isn't a bomber. So we have two tulip-style glasses here.
A rival brewery.
Yeah, yeah. Well, nobody's here to supply any Three Floyds paraphernalia. It's really kind of sad. Yeah. It pours with a decent amount of effervescence.
Mm-hmm.
Nice head on there that's being retained pretty well.
Yeah, pretty good. Maybe 2 centimeters or so.
Yeah, the color.
Pretty nice color. You can't really see through it.
Hazy, yeah. Kind of a between like a copper and a golden color. Gold and copper color. Is there a gold and copper alloy? Because that would be this color.
Look it up.
Look it up.
Not us, other people.
Other people. Look it up and send it in. The smell? Pretty.
I'm getting a little Belgian-y.
Yeasty. Belgian-y, yeah, there. It's not like pure hop. It is hoppy smelling.
Hops and a little bit of yeasty.
But there is a little yeast backdrop to it. I guess let's go in for the initial sip. The IS. Sip of initiation. Soy. I'm debating whether I should explain that or not. Maybe I'll just drop in. All right, here we go. Initial sip.
Go for it.
Okay. Wow.
You have a perplexed look on your face.
Yeah, it's like...
Not what you were expecting.
No.
More Belgian-y, more IPA?
I would say almost more Belgian-y. It's very yeasty, but... It's really strongly flavored right off the bat. And it doesn't like fall easily into like, oh, that's this kind of IPA or that's this kind of Belgian. It's kind of its own unique thing.
getting those IBUs a little or not?
Definitely the IBUs are there, and then there's kind of a lingering hoppy aftertaste.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, not what I was expecting.
No, yeah. I was either expecting IPA or a Belgian archetype, but
and it's
neat, really neither. It's kind of its own thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's nice in that regard because it makes you kind of think a little bit.
Right.
It's not just, oh yeah, this is, categorize it and then pin a rating on it. Like after the second drink, it's like, do I like this? Is it? I mean,
it's good.
So far I'm liking it.
I'm liking it. But yeah, it's definitely not like overbearing like a double IPA can be.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the Belgian aspect, but not.
It's not like overt.
Yeah. It's not, like, not overbearing in that respect either. So it's.
It does. Yeah. Weird. I would say the most IPA part, and this makes sense, is the finish. It has a pretty strong hoppy finish with a pretty hoppy aftertaste.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think the most Belgian part, as we were saying, is the yeast. And that just yeast flavor is just kind of a through line throughout the entire swallow.
Yeah, definitely before feeling and after. The bitterness after,
mm-hmm.
after a nice big sip of it or whatever it. It kind of does linger around the tongue a little bit, but in a good way.
In a good way, yeah. The alcohol is pretty well masked by both of those tastes, but it kind of punches through a little bit, again, in a good way. That's a little heat to it as it goes down.
Yeah, I feel like Belgian styles can disguise that pretty well.
Yeah.
And that this falls enough in that realm that it disguises the alcoholiness of it and... Because what was it,
9.5, yeah. Yeah, it's actually pretty easy to drink, too.
Yeah.
Sorry, I see a bug flying around the light that we're recording. Is that a mosquito?
Mosquito.
Oh, God. I don't know where it went, yeah. Coward.
Come at us, bro.
Come at us, bro. Yeah, it's interesting, though. I like that part a lot, that it's... Mm-hmm. Like, nothing, you probably wouldn't find a beer like this on tap almost anywhere.
Yeah. Thinking back to just other Belgian IPAs, Belgian single IPAs that you have had. Had any of those?
Oh, there he is. You got it. It's right down there.
Yeah. Anyways.
Yeah.
thinking back to any previous Belgian... Single IPAs that you've had recently or anything like that. What do you think about the
comparison? Yeah.
Like, I feel like the double aspect.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that, like thinking about that as opposed to just a single, like a Belgian style single IPA or whatever. I feel like I'm not noticing the double-ish
portion as
much as...
I feel like everything's just a little intensified. I think Belgian IPAs were... pretty, it was kind of an IPA phase that went through a few years ago, and I don't think you'd see them as much anymore. I may have had one or two along the line, but I couldn't, like, it was probably pre-untapped even, which would be, like, over 3 years ago.
I guess the one that I'm thinking of is Ale Asylum.
Oh, yeah, what is that?
And I'm blanking on the name, but I will...
Bedlam? Is that a Belgian?
Bedlam.
Yes. That's probably the last one I had then. Oh, that's one of your favorite brews, if I'm not mistaken. So how would you say that compares to this as far
as... Yeah, I kind of get what you're saying.
A little more amped, yeah.
Like, I felt like Bedlam, I could just have a few of those and be, like, good. Where this, like...
It's maybe kind of a... Not a one and done, necessarily, but you wouldn't want to...
Right, I would. Like, it comes in a bomber, it's great to share.
Right,
like,
yeah, that kind
of
deal.
It's not something that I would grab a six-pack of
And crack open every day after work or something like that.
It seems a little bit too intense for something like
that.
So, yeah, I'm liking it, but I think this...
More
in
this moderation.
Kind of style or whatever, like, I do like the Belgian single-type IPA a lot in this... I'm liking a bit, I guess.
Right, yeah.
Or liking a lot, but like not quite as much because it is kind of amped up a little bit and gets into some more bitter flavors and stuff like that that I don't necessarily...
No, yeah, I think, yeah, I agree with what you're saying. This is, yeah, really a funky beer. Mm-hmm. And I like it on that. But I think kind of the way we're drinking it is probably the ideal way to drink it. Just yeah. Sharing and discussing our over some food or something like that. Sharing and pairing. Sharing is pairing. Should we get into the R? Do you want to hear some copper gold alloys?
Tell me and I'll agree or disagree.
Shakudu?
Yep.
And Tumbaga, apparently.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Copper gold alloys. There's Wikipedia.org, good website, but look up the list of alloys article. And there's a whole bunch of crazy alloys that you wouldn't have ever known in your life.
There was two that you mentioned that I have never heard of.
Exactly. Electrum is on here, which is gold and silver mixed together. I know that from D&D.
What about unobtainium?
Unobtainium? Control F on unobtainium. Oh my god.
Isn't there a sequel?
Yeah, they're making sequels. Apparently they're going to make a whole bunch of sequels to that. I don't understand.
It made a lot of money.
It made a lot of money. I saw it. I'm guilty. I saw it in the theater.
I did too.
Yeah. It was just kind of the thing to do.
Yeah.
And it was kind of when 3D was at its...
Yeah, that was true too.
Yeah. But the... And, you know, it's a technological masterpiece, but like the storyline so ham-fisted in retrospect that it's just...
Yeah.
How did it make... Yeah. It was at the top spot for so long. Yeah. I think some superhero movie probably unseated it at this point, maybe.
Overall?
Yeah, as far as, yeah, gross. I don't know.
Probably.
Hopefully. Because, I don't know. The world is kind of has that embarrassment of Avatar being the number one movie.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, are you going to rate it?
You do it.
Oh, okay. That's your rating is you rate it first. Okay.
Start choosing,
bro. I'll do a sip of judgment.
Saj. Sorry, maybe you need another sip of judgment now.
I like the flavor as it goes across the tongue. I even like the aftertaste. But I don't like the aftertaste. Like it has a lingering, it does kind of have that spray paint effect a little bit with all the heavy hops in there,
mm-hmm.
but that's cured by taking another swallow. So I would say, I gotta give it a point just for being like unique. Like that first drink was just,
I should have pictured your should have taken a picture of your face.
That could have been the cover art of my confused surprise face. I looked like Don Knotts in Three's a Company.
Okay.
Pause for people to look it up if they want to, or maybe they know the reference. I'm going to give it a 4.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. A solid, unique beer.
Okay. I'm going to...
Take a sip of judgment?
Take another sip? Yeah.
All right.
I feel like I'm lingering around that same type of rating.
I think you probably have more insight to this style of beer than me, just because of your Bedlam background.
That being one of my like favorite brews, and this being in a fairly similar vein to that, but I feel like I'd rather have a Bedlam than this. And I mean, not taking anything away from this, it's still a wonderful beer, and it's... And I mean, it's got its pluses. It's definitely more potent by a couple percentages, I think.
Potable, yeah.
But it definitely hits some more intense notes and stuff like that. So I think I'm wavering right around there, right around 4.25. And so, 4.25.
Okay. I think if you're a fan of IPAs, I think it's worth a try. And if you're a fan of Belgians and you're looking for something a little
different,
a little off the wall.
Yeah.
It's worth a try too.
If you can still at least handle some IBUs. It's got them.
Be warned. This is a hoppy beer and it does it pretty well, I think, overall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it. Cheers to Three Floyds.
Yeah.
For such a wonderful brew.
Yeah, but it's another one down the gullet. In the meantime, you can also check us out on Facebook and Twitter at APMPod. Emails directly, APMPod@gmail.com. And also check us out on Untappd, where host Emeritus Mike hosts all the ratings. Thanks, Mike.
For Michael, I've been Steve.
For Steve, I've been Michael. And we'll check you next time. Cheers.
Cheers.